I know you're not ready to hear this. I know this is going to be somewhat surprising news, but summer is winding down, and we have to be honest with you. We're responsible for hard truths here, but you have to go back to school, and some of you have to go back to work. You're out of vacation days, and you have no more money. It's all gone. Summer is winding down, and honestly, I know we're all thankful for a break, although this is a beautiful, beautiful summer Sunday crowd here today, and we're so excited that you're in the room and online. I'm always thankful for a break, as I mentioned a moment ago. It's great to disconnect. It's great to unplug. It's wonderful to just not be quite as available. Sometimes emergencies aside, and 911 aside, all of that goes without saying. But the truth is, we need one another. We need one another. We need connection like never before. Of course, we need God. All of us need God. That is without question, and that goes without saying, but we need one another as well. So we're coming out of summer breaks, and we're coming out of people breaks. And I think that is significant the more society tries to separate us. The more society tries to push us away from one another. Whether it is the constant tensions that we all feel, whether it is the constant, you go with your people and you stay here with your people, constantly trying to separate us, or if it is the social distancing that has just become a way of life, or it is the opportunity to just be offended because everyone is offended lately. Everyone is in their feelings about something, and so it is causing a crisis in our connection. Let me tell you something interesting today. The first problem in the Bible was not sin. I know you may think it was. The first problem in the Bible was not sin. The first problem in the Bible was actually solitude. It was the fact that man was alone. And so Genesis 2 and 18, the Lord God said, "It is not good for the man to be alone." Wait a minute, Pastor. That's where he made him a helpmeet. That's where Eve came along. The rib came from Adam, and Eve was formed and created. Absolutely, it's not good for man to be alone. He needs that intimate connection. He needs that relational connection. But it's also not good for man to be alone, to do life alone, to just live in a world of solitude, a world where everything is disconnected. I mean, we work our 40 hours, we pick up our groceries on Friday afternoons, we walk our dog, we do all of the life things, but we're not connected to anyone. We have a crisis when it comes to connection. It's fascinating to me. I learned just a few days ago that if our current birth rates hold in early November 2022, in just a few short months, the 8th billionth person will be born somewhere on the planet. 8 billion people inhabit, or 8 billion people live somewhere in the world. It's amazing that we can have people everywhere and still feel alone. It's amazing that within arm's reach, no matter where we go. There are people, there are crowds of people, there are groups of people, there are gangs of people, and still we feel alone. I love what the wise man said in Ecclesiastes 4 and 8. There was a man all alone. He had neither son nor brother. There was no end to his toil. Why was there toil? There was toil because he was all alone. He had no friend, had no brother, had no son, had no one that he was truly connected to. There was no one to celebrate the wins with. There was no one to mourn the losses with. There was no one to help him move. I mean, you've got to have some people in your life. You've got to have some people that you are connected to, people that you are in relationship with. It's staycation, and I've come to teach today that we have to stay connected because we need one another. We need the presence of God, but I don't want to worship alone. I want to be with two or three. I want to be connected. I want to look down my row and see, hey, there they are. I want to look behind me and see a familiar face. I want to be connected to people who are moving in the same direction and who are focused on the same things. Is there anybody else that would say, you know what, I want to be connected just the same? You say, but Pastor Darrell, look, I've learned it's just easier when I go at it alone. It's just easier. I don't get hurt as easily when I go it alone. You know what? I've hurt myself. I'm good enough. I've offended myself. Anybody else ever offended yourself? If you always agree with you, you're not talking to yourself enough. If you talk to yourself very much, you're going to make your own self mad, your own self frustrated. We need one another. And I want to work for just the remaining time that I have today, just some of the things that Jesus said in the book of John. John is my favorite book in the Bible. I love to read from the book of John. I love to study the gospel story, the earthly ministry of Jesus, his birth and death. All of that is found in the book of John. Of course, it is a part of the gospels. You have the synoptic gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, which means those three guys were telling essentially the same story. And then the book of John, it's not technically a part of the synoptic gospels or that overlap. John brings out other details and he just writes from a perspective of not only fact but also feeling, not only exactness but also emotion. And I just love the way John presents Jesus. He was very close to him. He was in a beautiful relationship with Jesus. They were obviously connected on a very deep and powerful level. And so when John recounts some of these stories and tells some of these things, it is amazing to me. And Jesus, when you start in John 13 at the Last Supper and you go to John 14 and 15 and 16, he's moving into some of these very difficult conversations. He's trying to prepare the disciples that he is going to go away, but he's not going to leave them without comfort or without help or without power. And they are struggling with this because they've been walking with him for 3.5 years and they don't understand change and they're just not sure about how these things are going to work out. But Jesus is teaching them, and he has so much to teach them. But one of the lessons that he is really, really set to teach them is a lesson for them to stay connected to each other. Because Jesus knows what is ahead. They do not know what is ahead. Jesus knows the end from the beginning of your life and my life. He knows what's coming down the road of every single one of our lives, but you and I do not know what's coming down the road. I'm not living worrying about next week. I'm not living worrying about tomorrow. I've got a plan for this week. I've got a schedule for this week. It's a busy week. It's a full week. I know a lot of things are happening, and I've got an idea how they're going to play out, but I could wake up any morning and my world be completely flipped upside down. I could wake up any morning and everything be different. I woke up last night and Kristen had not come to bed. They were all up later than I was Saturday night. I'm real serious about getting to bed early because I know I've got Sunday coming, but it was the craziest thought in the middle of the night. I don't know what time it was. I just woke up and she was not there, and I did have the thought, did Jesus come? Did Jesus come and I got left behind? If you've never thought that thought, then you weren't raised in the same Pentecost I was raised in, because it'll scare the hell out of you sometimes, Lord. Pastor been out a few days, so pray for me. But they have no idea what is coming. They have no idea what is ahead for them or how hard their journey will be. None of them realize the challenges or the opposition or the persecution. And guess what? You and I have no idea either. Again, we've got a plan and we're making plans. And I would encourage you to set goals and make plans and put a target out there that you that you are striving for and reaching for. But the truth is, we do not know what will happen tomorrow or how much we will need one another to get through it. We just don't know. We don't know what will happen. I was talking to one of our great men on Friday, and he was telling me that, his brother was at the point of death. He may just have a little time, and so we just had that time on the phone, and I was so thankful that he was able to call me, and I was thankful that I was able to talk to him and able to work through this and able to what would we do without one another? How would we make it without one another? So they're all arriving for the Last Supper in John 13, and as they're coming into the room, Jesus says, look, I want to wash your feet. I want to wash your feet. I preached about this, I don't know, in recent months in great detail, but, Peter responds in John 13 and 8. He said, no, you're not going to wash my feet. And Jesus says, unless I wash you, you have no part with me. That leads me to the first point I need to make today. I'm going to make five that I think are important out of these conversations that Jesus is having. The first one is that I need people who will care for me. I need to be connected because I need people who will care for me. Not just people who care about me, but I need people who will care for me. You say, what's the difference? What's the difference? Well, I can say from this pulpit today, we care about our community. I can announce, we care about our community. We care about it. Or I could tell you how we care for our community and tell you that in the last 10 days, we have fed over 200 families. 200 families right here from this campus. We care about, but we also care for. How can we help? How can we assist? How can we make a difference in someone's life? Because we don't want to just care about you. That's what churches are supposed to do. That is the gospel. That is the word. But how can we care for you? So you're dealing with this death in your family. How can I walk with you? So you're going through this crisis in your marriage. How can I walk with you? So you have this diagnosis you're dealing with. How can I walk with you? Because it's not just words. Hey, I love you. I care about you. How can I help you with what you are going through? That is who the church is supposed to be. Connected connected, not just knowing names, not just seeing familiar faces, but connected to one another. John 13, 12 through 15, when he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. "Do you understand what I have done for you?" he asked them. "You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am now. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet." Here's the reason I did that. I did that to be an example. I want you also to wash one another's feet. I don't want you to just see me as Savior doing this, but I want to teach you how to do this for one another. The words are read. That's what Jesus is saying. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. What I have done for you, I want you to do for one another. None of us are Jesus. None of us are as good as he is. But what if we as believers, what if we as fellow faith family members, what if we as people who care about one another would care for one another? I may not can die for you like Jesus did, but you know what? I can stand with you in this crisis that you're going through. How much stronger would we be as a church? How much more effective would we be in our community? What kind of difference could we make in our neighborhoods if we stay connected? Is the word helping anybody today? Here's number two. I need people who will encourage me. I need people who will encourage me. I know I'm supposed to be tough. I know daddy raised me. I know uncle raised me. I know mama raised me that, you know, we shouldn't depend on anyone. You're the only one who's ever going to really come through in the end. You're the only one who's ever going to be there, for yourself. But at the end of the day, I need someone to encourage me. I need someone to reassure me. I need someone to bless me. I am tough. I am self-sufficient. And to be honest with you, there's a lot of times I don't need a lot of help because I get frustrated with people's help because they're not doing it the way I want it done. Hello, my name is Daryl, and I confess. Sometimes teaching people how to help you is more frustrating than just doing the job yourself. But I need people. I need to be connected. I'm tough, but every now and then I need someone to tell me that I'm doing a good job. I don't want to burden anyone. I don't want to be needy. But let me tell you something. Encouragement is like cold water on a hot day. Someone just patting you on the back. Someone with an attaboy, someone with some kindness, someone with, hey, I recognize that the job you are doing is making a difference, and you need to be encouraged today. You need to feel better. I need that. You need that. All of us need that affirmation in our lives. We have Team Church, which is our army of volunteers, and it's rare that we open up a team church rally or even a team lead meeting that we don't do something called say it to my face. What does that mean? We're going to give compliments. We're going to stand up in front of everyone and shout people out. Heather, you did a great job with ministry moment today. I appreciate the thought. I appreciate you having the experience this last week. Our worship team, if you're a guest today, we normally have six or seven people up here helping sing, but today was Teresa and Elle and Tommy, and man, what an awesome job they did leading us in worship. But hey, you need to know that today you made a difference. Today you you helped people. Today, you led people. Today, you blessed people. Your songs, they helped us feel the presence of God and hear something in the Spirit, hear something in the realm. I need that kind of encouragement. Hebrews 3 and 13, but encourage one another daily. Not every once in a while. Encourage one another daily. Daily, daily. I gotta text you every day. I gotta say thank you every single day. Hello, my name is Daryl. I'm doing more confessing. But he said encourage people daily. You know why? Because people wake up every single day with their world flipped upside down. They didn't know crisis was going to happen. They didn't know diagnosis was going to happen. They didn't know that teenager was going to flip out. They didn't know that marriage was going to find itself. You know, encourage one another daily. Daily. What if every single day you made it a part of your routine to encourage someone, to bless someone, to make a difference in someone's life daily. Here's the third thing that Jesus talked about. It's in John 15. I'm gonna read that in just a moment. But what I receive out of that is that I need people who will partner with me. So I need people who would care for me. I need people who will encourage me, and I need people who will partner with me. Like, I mean, are we in this together? That's the question. Are we on the same team? Can I count on you? I mean, I know I have to face it. I know I can't run from it. I know I can't escape it. I know I can't turn my back and just it's automatically going to go away. I know I have to deal with this in my life, but if you'll stand with me, then my load just got lighter. If I know I'm not facing this alone, if I know I'm not going through this by myself, it's amazing how encouraged I feel and how cared for I feel because I've got a partner that is in this with me. John 15, 4 and 5, Jesus said, remain in me and I will remain in you. We are forging a partnership. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. But apart from me, separate from me, you can do nothing. If you partner with Jesus, you branch, him vine, connected, we're bearing fruit. We're making the difference. Our life is counting for something. Our life is yielding something. Our life is bearing something. Our life is feeding people and nourishing people and making a difference in people's lives. Back to the wise man of Ecclesiastes chapter 4 and verse 9. Two are better than one because they have a good return for their work. If I'm doing the work by myself, it's going to take twice as long. It's going to be twice or three times as hard. But if I have a partner in the labor, if I've got a partner in the job, man, the time investment just got cut in half. The labor intensity was cut in half. Why? Because two are better than one. Let Paul teach us from Ephesians chapter 2 and 10. For we, somebody say we are God's workmanship. We, not just me, myself, and I, not just you, but we. There is success in the Spirit that comes when we are connected to other people. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works which God prepared in advance for us to do. Not you by yourself, us we, us, when we are connected to one another. When we're connected. Romans 12 and 15, rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. It's so important. It's so important. I honestly, Pastor, why are you preaching this today? Because I think it's so important in these separating, segregating, isolating times that we're living in. Where so many have different opinions about so many things, and no one can seem to find a consensus of thought, or no one can seem to find resolution. If we can get connected to one another, and I'm strategic because I'm hoping and praying to get everybody in one mind and one accord, so that we can hear the sound. So that we can feel the wind blow. So that when the Holy Spirit falls, it's not herding cats. It's not running out in the hall and trying to find this person, running out to the front field trying to get that person. No, we're all in one mind, and we're all in one place because we are connected. And hear me, Pastor Darrell is about to shift gears. I know we've got just a few more days of summer to go, and we got to get a few folk back home, but come August, you need to plan to be in this house and get ready to see all that God is going to do from August all the way to the end of 2022. You are not ready for everything that God has been speaking to me while I've been on this little break, but I know what's happening down inside and what God is getting ready to do. But 1 Corinthians 12 and 26, if one part suffers, then every part suffers with it. I need people to partner with me. And here's the fourth, and I'm getting ready to close. Here's the fourth. I need people who will protect me. I need people who will care for me, and I need people who will encourage me, and I need people who will partner with me, but I need people who will protect me. Can we help one another stay out of the ditch? Can we help one another? Can we protect one another? Maybe careful, because a lot of people watch our stream, and I want to be careful, but just maybe 15 days ago, 17 days ago, within the last 3 weeks, but not 3 weeks, I'm scrolling social media, connected to someone. I see a picture that they posted. It wasn't necessarily a bad picture. There was not anything questionable about the picture. It was just the fact that in the moment I was seeing it, and something resonated in my spirit. This is going to sound contradictory, because I was in a really busy time, and yet I was scrolling social media. I know that doesn't make sense. It was a busy time where I was mentally focused, but you know, just got a minute here, a minute there, and I'm scrolling. I don't know if I was looking for something. I don't know what was happening. But when I saw the picture, when I saw the picture, there was something that gave me pause. There was something that said stop. And I looked at it, and I thought, what am I supposed to be seeing here? I just know how God talks to me. I don't know how God talks to you, but I know how God speaks to me. And there was something that was saying, just stop, focus on this for a moment. But the other side of me was saying, I don't have time to focus on this. And it was clear as a bell. I just felt the impression of the Lord that I needed to call this person. And I didn't, because I was busy. I felt a warning in my spirit. I felt it just as clear as anything I've ever felt, a warning in my spirit, and I needed to warn them about a ditch. And I didn't because I was busy. And I was back home in Texas last week. And I was eating lunch with a pastor, and we had talked about doing something a few days later into the week, and that I knew that wasn't going to work out. And so I reached out that morning. I said, "Man, I know it's last minute, but if you want to move our lunch up, today is better for me." And he said, "Yes, let's go." And we get to lunch and sit down, and there were no pleasantries, really. There was no ketchup. There was no, he said, "Man, it's so crazy that you reached out today." He said, "I woke up to a crisis. I woke up to a mess." And he said, "It's possible that you could fix that, you could help with this situation." And I said, "What? What's going on?" And he called that person's name from the picture 3 weeks ago. And it was just chills that went, they're on me right now. And there was a train wreck, and there was a crisis, and there was a ditch, and there was a mess, and there was, oh God, a family being ripped apart. And I'm sitting there just beating myself up. Why didn't you stop? Why didn't you take the time? Could I have saved them? Could I have head that destruction off at the pass? Could I have kept that from happening? Would that warning, would that prompting have made the difference? I don't know. I don't know. And the reality is, I will never know. But I know this. I need people who will protect me. I want to be a protector for others. Not just in the role of pastor. And I appreciate you that give me that permission in your life. But as friend, as brother, as sister, as those who are connected and joined in faith, I need somebody who will protect me. Jesus said in John 16, we've been in John 13, 14, 15, John 16. Jesus said, "All this I have told you so that you will not go astray." The word astray there is interesting because it comes from a Greek word meaning scandal. He said, I've said all of this because I don't want you to fall into scandal. Let's go back to Ecclesiastes 4 and 12. A person standing alone can be attacked and defeated. They can be attacked and defeated, but two can stand back to back and conquer. Three are even better, for a triple braided cord is not easily broken. Listen to me, sir. Listen to me, ma'am. Doing this all by yourself in 2022, who is dangerous? It's dangerous. It's dangerous. Ah, Pastor, I'm just self-sufficient. I just kind of go along, get along, mind my own business, and just, you know, hold my own row. I just kind of do life. No, man, not in these last days. Not in these perilous times. Not in these challenging times. Two are better than one. And three, man, it's hard to break that cord. If you find someone who will protect you. Here's the fifth and final. John 17. I need people who will pray for me. When I say me, I'm not asking you, yes, I want you to pray for me, but I'm preaching this as one of you. This is what we need. We need people who will care for us. We need people to encourage us. We need people to partner with us and to protect us. And we need people to pray for us. Can I just be honest with you? We've had enough talking to last 10 lifetimes. We've heard plenty of opinions on any subject. I don't need someone gossiping about me or to me. I need someone to pray for me. You and I, we need to pray for one another. And Jesus said, John 17 and 1, while he's looking to heaven and praying. And then verse 9, I pray for them. I am not praying for the world, but for those you have given me. I pray for them. I've got a lot of general overarching prayers and God do this and God do that and God we speak to nations. But I'm going to tell you, the people that get the best of me are the people I'm connected to. It's just how life works. One of the neighbor kids came up to me. I was just pulling into the driveway and they wandered up into the driveway. Not hello, nothing, just, are you going to buy me a birthday present? I said, well, number one, who are you? Where you live? When is your birthday? But see, if I was in relation, if they were related to me, if I was connected to them, I'd probably already have that on my calendar or already making a plan. It's the difference of connection. It's the difference. I'm gonna go ahead and get a birthday present, okay? It's the difference that connection makes. The last thing we want as a church is to be a body of a few hundred disconnected, disjointed members. No. Man, I referenced Heather a moment ago. Matthew, they host a Sunday small group called Sunday Lunch. I don't know how much roast y'all have got today, but I could probably fill your house up here in just a moment. Sunday lunch. It's the coolest thing. Sundays are a little crazy in my world. I've not had the opportunity to go to one, but people go. It's awesome just to get together on Sundays and have lunch together. Do you know if you're planning to go to lunch alone today, you don't have to? And that may sound stressful to you. That may just have your anxiety. Woo, just uh-uh. I get it. I understand. But I'm gonna tell you again, two are better than one. Because the one alone can be attacked and defeated. But if two can stand back to back, they can defeat and conquer. Man, let's get connected. Let's get connected in this season, in this time. Who has God put in your life that you can pray for? Ephesians 6 and 18, prayer is essential in this ongoing warfare. Pray hard and long. Pray for your brothers and your sisters. I pray for you, you pray for me. We're all a part of God's body. I don't know that old song, I just remember it. These old songs come to me when I'm preaching. You don't have to sing that, team. I don't want to flip you all upside down. Do whatever you were going to do, but why don't you stand with me across the room? Hallelujah. This is a good day. This is a good day to just look over at people you love and just smile. Just grin grin till they feel uncomfortable. Just smile at them till they wonder what you got on your mind. Grin till they think you coming to borrow money from them. I love it. I do it all the time because men are so funny. I don't do it just out of word. I mean, it's not just words. It's my heart. I love to tell men in this church, I love you. I love you. I care about you. No, I'm not trying to date you. I love you because I need you to keep me from falling in a ditch. And I want to help you. God is good. So, Father, I pray today. I pray today for hearts in this house. There may be somebody feeling disconnected. So many reasons those things happen. Often our nature is to blame. Our nature is to fault. Our nature is to point fingers. When the reality is oftentimes sin, it always separates, causes us to feel disconnected. So today, Lord, let's just settle that. Let's just resolve that. Let's just handle that. Because your presence is here in a powerful way, and your truth has been spoken, declared in this house, and your mercy, your grace is abiding with us today. Maybe I need to repent today. Maybe I need to just say, Lord, whatever's in me, whatever is happening in my heart that is creating distance and space and moving me away from instead of toward and closer to, I repent of that. I ask you to heal me from that. I ask you to forgive me of that. Set me free from the thing that keeps repeating itself in my life. The addiction I continue to go back to. The thought I continue to run to. The person I continue to find comfort in. I'm serious, Lord. I want you to heal me and set me free so that I can really walk in purpose, the purpose that you have for my life. I don't know who I'm praying for today. I don't know who I'm giving words to, but I have a feeling there are heads nodding and there are spirits agreeing, and somebody is saying, yeah, that's what I need. That's what I need God to do in my life. While heads are bowed and eyes are closed, if you're in this room and you'd say, Pastor Darrell, I include me. I want to be pray. I want you to pray that over me. Just raise your hand with me. I want to know who I'm praying for. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Good Lord. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Beautiful. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I want to be connected. Pray this with me. Say, Jesus, I ask you to forgive me. I ask you to wash my life, my mind, my heart, my eyes, my ears. Make me a new person. Behold, everything has become new. Today I say yes. Today I receive your gift of forgiveness. Today I am set free in Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, can we give the Lord a hand today? Thank you, Jesus. Listen, if you prayed that today for the first time, or maybe you just feel like you're coming back or rededicating yourself, do not miss the moment. Either side of this auditorium, big yes banners. There's a book right there on that table called Following Jesus. It's just a way for us to connect with you. It's completely free. Get this. It's a few pages you can read in just a little bit of time, but it's going to help you with next steps. If you're online with us today, or if you like that technology thing, just text the word follow to 404-777-4701. That's on the screen for you. If you're online today, just type the word follow. Text it to that number, 404-777-4701. They'll send you a link. Give us your email, and in just a few moments, you'll have this book delivered right to your inbox. You can read it right there from your computer or your phone, and it'll bless you. But let me challenge you. Let me challenge you, those who said yes to Jesus, or maybe those that are just new in this faith journey. Why don't you take the next step and choose today to be baptized next Sunday? The Bible says, he that believes and is baptized shall be saved. You need to be baptized. You need to take that next step. Well, I don't know. It feels kind of weird. Everybody watching, we do private baptism. I mean, go public with your faith. Who cares what anybody thinks about the miracle that God has done in your life? Next Sunday, choose, decide, say yes to baptism, and let God make the difference in your life. Amen? Do you love people? Do you love people? Man, listen to me. If there was somebody in this room that I had aught against, that there was somebody I had some little something with, today would be the day I'd just chase them out to the party. Hold on. Listen, I love you. I'm sorry. Can we just squash this? Can we get this right? Because I need someone to protect me. Amen. Amen. Let's give the Lord praise one more time. Come on. Come on. Thank you, Lord.
Change it.